I wanted to say something about long retreats because of the fact that we are hoping to, pushing for, trying to start our first one-year retreat in the summer of 2012. Traditionally, from when we first started this project for long retreats 11 years ago, there were people who were enthusiastic about it and people who were not enthusiastic about it. And I think that's just always the case whenever you do anything. Some people think it's good, some people think it's not good. And most people have done remarkable things, put forth a remarkable effort to help make the facilities come about and to learn about it. But many people still say that they have trouble dealing with their friends and their family about it because their friends and their family feel puzzled by the value, maybe puzzled by their own opinions that there isn't any value. Why would you do that? Why does it have to be so long? Of course, people say that about a one-week retreat. Why does it have to be so long? Some people reported during the winter retreat of 2 months that their parents or somebody said, "Why does it have to be so long?" So I guess it's a good thing we didn't tell them about 3 years or something. But I wanted to say a little bit about what you need in order to work with puzzled friends. And I say it with a wish that you actually have a desire to work with puzzled friends, that you would like yourself to become unpuzzled, because that's probably why your friends are puzzled, because you're also asking the question, why does it need to be so long? What's really going on here? What is the benefit to it? I think there's a couple of confusions that we get into around this that get us caught in a corner. So I made myself a couple of notes. One was, probably if you find that other people are puzzled when you talk to them about long retreats, it's probably because you're puzzled and not clear yourself with yourself, and so it's unstable, whatever clarity you have. And the second thing is the question of what is it important to actually know about this? And there's two things here. The first one is what are we doing? And the second one is why. What are we doing has to do with the things that we do here at the center. Like we come together, we meditate together, we have discussions, we engage, like next Sunday, we'll engage in an all-day sit, and we have certain practices, and we discuss those things, and we try to implement them in our lives. We talk about how could we implement them 24 hours a day, and we make an effort, and we come back, and we review it again. We go through this process continually. The process out at SCOL is meant to really just implement that at another level. It's not actually any different in one way. But we consider the practice so important that we have the what, the building of the facilities, the effort to build the facilities, the effort to raise the money, the effort to tell other people about it and see what happens. So it's helpful if you know and look into and ask people questions here. What are we actually doing out there? So some of you may not have been out there. I highly recommend going this May if you haven't been out there, May 14th, our celebration day, and try to get a sense of what it is that we're actually building, what it looks like, what the cabins look like. And the second thing is the why. If you keep separate the what and the why, it's helpful. Because the what is actually easy to understand. And sometimes we mix the what and the why. And the why is not so easy to understand. So the why has to do primarily with what we're going to do there and why we would do that. And again, we have the what and the why. The why is the most difficult and so therefore the most compelling when we're clear about it. I think the Dalai Lama's quote is apropos because we all manifest the inside out in the world. That's what we all do. We manifest our own minds through our speech and our behavior. We have no choice. That's just what it is. So the degree to which we're confused, we manifest confusion. The degree to which we're clear, we manifest clarity. It goes like that. There's no choice. So you want the world to be more clear, more peaceful, more compassionate, filled with more wisdom. You must become more clear, more compassionate, and more filled with wisdom. Just continuing with the same confusion will just accomplish more confusion. So that much of the why is so easy to say to people. Most people will say, I agree with that. But why does it take 3 years? Why does it take 1 year? Why does it take so long? One possible answer to that question is, that's a great question. Why doesn't it just take a day or a week? Well, you can find out by sitting down and engaging in the practice of just shamatha, just calm abiding. I want to calm my mind. How come it doesn't settle? It was settled a moment ago. How come I got lost for a whole 10 minutes? So now we're broaching, coming close to why it takes so long. You go out and do the 2-month retreat in the winter retreat this time, you may have the experience of the mind settling down quite a bit, but on the ride home, it goes wild again. We can't undo what has taken so long to put into place by just putting a thin coat of paint over it. We might experience some clarity and some stillness, but it won't be stable. It takes a long time. There's a reason why, historically, people have spent long times in all religious traditions in order to accomplish radical transformations. Fortunately, we can accomplish some transformation without it being radical. Alan Wallace talks about the 10,000 hours of a 3-year retreat, 10,000 hours of practice, which is actually slightly short of the total, but it's close enough in round numbers, as being comparable to any other really a difficult thing to accomplish that we appreciate. I would say, like, you know, he uses the example of a brain surgeon, for example, or an Olympic athlete, the number of hours that it takes to become good at something. And so in that sense, it really doesn't make sense to assume that we could accomplish a radical transformation from the inside out in something less than it took to learn to become an excellent musician or a brain surgeon or an athlete. Now, these things are actually easier to accomplish. One of Wallace's statements, he has some of the best quotes around, I think, on the subject. In the end, long retreat is all about sanity and wholeness, but we have to talk about sanity and what wholeness is in the same way that we talk about purity and impurity for a while. And then I have one quote from Martin Luther King, which I think also is very interesting. Quote, our ultimate end must be the creation of the beloved community, unquote. But I think we're back at the beginning now. The beloved community, or any community, will just be a reflection of the inside out of all of its members. So you can pass the laws to love each other and to do all of this. We have a long history that indicates that is not very potent. It doesn't work so well. And those who have it can't be stopped. Those who have the love and the compassion and the equanimity will manifest it. They can't be stopped. And so when I read that from Martin Luther King, I think, well, of course, because he can't be stopped. It's like that's what was in there, so that's what came out. So I think it's worth learning, as I would like to encourage you to learn, to tell the story of what we're doing and why we're doing it to each other and to friends, to build a sense of appreciation for it. It will help us finish the work. It will help the community to have an appreciation for it. It will help more people to go on retreat and do that work. If we can learn to tell the story to friends, to family, to other Sangha members, to anyone who asks, and become as clear as possible with just a little bit of the what and the why. What are we doing and why? It doesn't need to be too much. And nothing else needs to be done. You just tell the story. Whenever it feels like there's an opening. It always feels uncomfortable when we don't know what we're talking about. Nobody's going to tell the story they don't know. Nobody's going to talk about something that might be a little controversial, and they have no sense at all of why it is that they even think that it's worthwhile. So we need to get clear in ourselves, and then it will be easy. And you can make it part of your practice, because supporting any endeavor by any spiritual tradition that would help people become more kind, become more clear, become more wise, has to be good for all sentient beings. So this is not just about our community, it's about all communities and the way that the world functions together. It's helpful to hold that view, which is actually the view that's helpful, not the view that we need to do this for our community. This is what we do, it's not what other people do. Actually, I rejoice if 100 people said they're building long retreat facilities and they have waiting lists, I would think like, woo! It's not a competition. Could be. Competition tends to get in the way of these things, but if it didn't, it would be good to have it as a competition. So I just wanted to say that, and I think our time is up. And if you have questions about it, there's a lot of people here who know a lot about it. Just talk about it when you have the chance so that you get clear about it.